us this day your way. That your word inspire the hearts. We may awaken out of our drunkenness, our slothfulness, and the sleepiness that consumes us in this hour. That we may begin to walk in the Spirit, Father. The law of your Spirit, the Messiah, makes us free from the law of sin and death, from all the things that binds us and bring us under bondage. We ask it in Yahshua's name to bless this service and the preaching, that it may be inspired from heaven and the hearts of thy people. We ask it in thy name. Hallelujah. Yahweh, we bless you. You may be seated. It's becoming even more increasingly difficult to press beyond the flesh. First of all, because we don't crucify it. And the way you do that, you began to pick up the cross. Or pick up this sacrifice. You began to crucify the flesh. Then only can you begin to follow a spiritual law. That is why in this hour, we don't have that much spiritual revelation. We don't have the mind spiritual. And that is a mind that receives and interprets the revelation of Yahweh's truth. It reveals more than the just present thing that we see. It goes beyond that. It reveals something that is much greater than that. It reveals the light and the truth of His anointing. And that is what is needed. And when that light is revealed, it's because we understand the hope that Messiah gave us. And it brings about this profound, jubilant jubilation. For we know that the time is near, and nearer than when we first began. For the hour is at hand. And the time is not as far off as it seemed, as it was. We're near that day of redemption. We're near that time. We're going to stand before Yahweh's judgment seat. Every man. We're going to be judged for the things. That's why you can't accuse anyone. You can't make no excuses at all. You're going to be judged for the things that have been done in that body. Not for the things in the brother or the sister's body. You're going to be judged. And in this hour of His judgment, whereby it ought to touch the heart, the mind, the spirit of man, to bring about a transformation, a renewing. It doesn't do that. Because man is trying to mix spiritual laws with natural carnal laws. Things of the spirit, they cut your corrupt, wicked flesh constantly. It doesn't leave any measure of flesh to rise up. And so that's why there's a despising of Almighty Yahweh's laws, because it cuts to the very core of a man's own will and desire, and expose the flesh as to what it's worth. It's just like the blade of grass. As the grass wither away, so shall the flesh go in the same way. It's going to wither away. It's going to be consumed. Has no value at all. It's only that which dwells deeply in a man's soul. That is the covenant of Yahweh that He has put in His servants and the house of Jacob, Israel, in their hearts. And He has hid it in the confines of His spirit. That's why Messiah could not leave us comfortless. He had to send the Comforter, that we would be comforted in this covenant of Almighty Yahweh. The things of the flesh do not comfort you. You can amass riches. You can allow your flesh to be consumed on every lustful thing you desire. And it still doesn't bring a fullness. Hell and destruction. What a profound statement. Are never full. That is what Yahweh compared the heart of man with. hell and destruction. He compares the heart of man with that. Neither, or indeed can be, the heart of man ever satisfied. It can never be satisfied. Hell can never be satisfied. Destruction can never be satisfied. There's a realm beyond even that. There's a place beyond even destruction. Yet it is never satisfied. Neither is the thing that is in man today, it is ever satisfied. Nothing can appease it. Nothing pleaseth it. Nothing brings about a comfort to the mind and the spirit of man. So it must be governed. There must be a law to bring it under subjection to a rule and an authority. That is what is missing out of the lives of the people today. They don't want their hearts to be ruled. They don't want their minds to be ruled. And it's ruled by a devious, destructive power of hell. It is a dark power that rules in the heart of man. It is not the power of Satan. It is your own corrupt, deceitful, cunning will that your flesh always gives the mandate that this is what is going to be done. It's based on feelings and emotions and attachments and association. It's not based upon the law of Yahweh. And it must be based upon what he says. This is a generation that has disdain for his laws. They don't believe what Messiah said. They don't believe what the Father has commanded him to fulfill. So we're given over unto God worship and everyone. Whether you receive this man of Yahweh or not, everyone has a God that they worship. It is their own bellies. And that, or the desire of your belly, is generated by your own will and your own purpose and desire. It doesn't come by the laws of Yahweh. For he governs every aspect of a man's life. He commands, he instructs, he shows him, he admonishes, rebukes, reproves, he exalts, he extols. He governs every aspect of a man's life. He is not just a ruler. You are a ruler, but he is the ruler of rulers. You rule, but he is a ruler above your rule. He is a ruler of rulers. He is the ruler of rulers. Beside him there is no mighty one. None whatsoever. None. And so what he tells us to do is to rule and to govern our own spirit. Well, how do you govern your own spirit when it is lawless? But there are no laws or jurisdictions that brings it unto or into a certain boundary. How do you rule it? He tells us to rule it. For man cannot rule his own spirit. How can that man even rule the things of Yahweh or come to the understanding? Well, he must give us a law or bylaws that we go by in order to rule the breath that is in us. There's breath that comes forth out of you. It is seething with anger and hostility, wickedness, vengefulness. Yet he tells us how to rule those things. He tells us that anger of foolishness of anger, it rests in the bosom of a fool. So he gives us a law and a government, and he is the head of the government to show us how to walk, how to respond, and how to do things. Now he sent Messiah as this intermediary, as men are today, that he may speak unto a house. Because if he thundered down from the kingdom, not any of us could bear today. For corruption, filthiness, sin, wickedness, uncleanness of heart and mind, you couldn't bear it because you were rejected. You will not believe it. How do you know that? Because scripture shows us.
that they did not believe it. The call, the elected, chosen of Yahweh, and yet they rejected even the voice that thundered from the glory of his kingdom. And what he has done today, he has chosen something a little different. He has chosen by the foolishness of preaching. That's what he has chosen. He has done mighty works. He has done great feats. He has made himself known. He has showed himself in wonderful ways. Yet man still rejects that. He has came in a bodily form and showed us the mighty power of the hope of resurrection. Having confidence in him, trust in him, and man still rejects that. They don't receive that. They fall after some other way, which is very pernicious. Your ways are very pernicious. They're very wicked. They're corrupt. And so they have not ensued a fallen after the things that produce life. And that's his truth, his laws, his commandments, his government. And what Satan has done, he has set up these whorehouses, conglomerations, billion, multi-billion dollars, conglomerations, that their strength is based upon their numbers and their wealth, that they literally can persuade the minds of people by their commercialism, the same way as the presidential election. The more money you have, then the more money you can spend on the airwaves, radio station. And then you make a conformity, you make the minds conform to what you want them to believe. And then people go and vote for that candidate. And so what Yahweh has done to bring us into conformity, he paid a price that even the wealth of this nation cannot pay. He paid a price that the collective wealth of the world cannot pay this price. To bring us all into conformity of one mind. One mind. One heart. And one desire. Not a multiplicity of desires and minds. It creates confusion. It creates darkness. It creates self-righteousness. That's why he did not leave this to man. He said, I will bring or send. As I pray to the Father, he will send the mighty comforter. And there is no comforter as in the sense that Messiah said. It's far from this earth today. Just as it was that there were few, so shall be those that are few. 120 in the upper room that were filled out of the masses of people. And many are not filled today. You're filled with your own fleshly identity. And I'm a preacher that will tell you. Because the Spirit of Yahweh doesn't make you respond and do things the way you do and say you have the Spirit. No, that's not the Spirit. It's your Spirit. It is going to deceive you into darkness. This is a generation. So I began to speak the other night on the radio station. That is a generation that the mind is so distorted. And the reason why, because there is calamity in the land. There's distress. The nation is stressed out. Husbands and wives are so stressed. There is not even a cordial relationship there. Children are stressed. Mothers are stressed. And the world has stressed them beyond any measure. For they have one concern, and that is the consumption of their flesh. And that is the state of this people today. They're consumed with what brings some kind of comfort to the flesh, and it doesn't. And so if we find a calamity in the land, it is a deep sense of distress. They don't know what tomorrow holds. I know what tomorrow holds for me. There's only one thing that tomorrow holds for me. And that is hope. And that is hope of the very return of Messiah. And even if I die in this body, of the resurrection. So that is the only thing that tomorrow should hold for any that call upon his name. He should not hold anything else and nothing else. And so we find that in this nation and around the world, that their stock market is deceiving them. Their wealth is not what they think it is. Their happiness doesn't consist of what things that their natural mind tells them. It does not bring about that fullness of any joy. They went out in droves yesterday for a new mall that was open in Charlotte, one store called Nordstrom. And the people were so excited about a store opening that will charge them inflated prices on things that are made in Honduras, in Haiti, and in China, and they are excited about that. Yet you can stand before the mass of them and call upon that precious name, and they will rid you like they did Stephen. They will gnash upon you with teeth, and they will kill you. Now that is the distress of this nation. It doesn't know what to choose. It doesn't know what to pick. It has no ability to pick and to choose what is right, because the mind is thwarted. It has no sense of direction. It's a seared conscience, whereby the truth of Yahweh cannot touch the minds of the hearts today. They're in deep darkness and bondage of their own flesh. It is not as much as some spiritual power that is ruling them. It is the spirit of their own flesh. What? The deceitfulness, their lies, their corruption. That is the thing that binds them, whereby there is no power of the character and the characteristics of the comforter that should come. That he should bring forth fruit in abundance. It should be a mighty power of his fruit in a man's soul. And one shall be able to sense that. There's no way you're going to sense a peach tree and call it an apple tree. It just cannot be. Once you taste the fruit, you will know that it is a peach tree. There's no way you're going to call a pecan tree a watermelon. It can't be. For the fruit is different in its appearance, in its taste. It's totally different. And there is no way that the fruit of the Spirit in one is different than the fruit in another. It is the same. For he is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He doesn't change at all. Why the distressed preacher? Why are we distressed for? Why are we distressed in any environment? You're going to be distressed. It makes no difference. I don't care where you are, you're going to be distressed. The calamity shall overtake you. Your mind shall become so perplexed, you can't even reason. You don't know how to choose good. We don't know how to choose right. We don't know how to reject that which is improper and to receive that which is proper to receive. The mind is so twisted. The mind of man must be governed. That is the first thing that Yahweh did with Adam. He brought him and put him in the garden. And he commanded him what to do as well, to name these animals. He forbade him to touch that tree. For the day that you eat of that tree, for on that day you shall surely die. You shall lose your oneness with me. There shall not be the relationship that it should be. When a man commits adultery over his wife, or vice versa, does not death ensue that? The relationship is hampered. It is not the same. And it is never the same. Regardless to what one says, when a man commits adultery, or a woman commits adultery, the relationship is never the same. Never! They may have relationship, and there may be a candid attitude toward each other, but it's never the same. That is what man did with the father. He committed an egregious sin, that the relationship has never been the same. It has never been the same. Our hope is that this shall be complete, is that we trust in the living word of Yahweh. For it is written in Scripture, we shall live by the laws of Yahweh and by the commands of Yahweh. Why the distress? What is the purpose behind it? And why it is upon the people today? And he's talking to his house. Why are you distressful? Why is there so much uncertainty? For the Scripture tells us. I would have begun reading in Lamentations. The Lamentations of Jeremiah. Is there any pain like my pain? That is literally the meaning of Lamentations. Is there any pain like my pain? Is there any pain like the pain of Yahweh? Can your physical body or your spiritual mind sense the pains of Yahweh? That is what Lamentations is. Your pains are not like my pains. Can any man sense and understand the pains of the Father? That he has purchased a people. Yet they grieve his heart to an extent that he must do exactly what he says he must do. I want to begin reading in Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, Yahweh is righteous, for I have rebelled against his commandments. Now he is a righteous Yahweh. Yet the house of Israel had rebelled against his commandments. And this is a nation that rebels against the commandments of Yahweh. You must understand that everything that Messiah said, it was the fulfillment of that which was written. He made known the power of obeying the commandments of Yahweh. That's why when you can love Him with all, then you love your neighbor as yourself, then you walk in the perfect law of Yahweh. And so we're not walking in that perfect law. We're not walking in that perfect law. We're walking in a natural law that governs your heart and your corrupt spirit. You love those that you would rather love. You befriend those that are compatible with you. The body is only compatible with the body. And any part of the body is compatible. My head is compatible with my feet. My feet are compatible with my heart. Every part of the body is compatible. They have one thing in purpose, and that is the body. The entire body. That's the purpose. And so it is compatible. It is all needed. Yahweh is righteous, for I have rebelled against His commandments. He declared, here I pray you, all people. Did not say some of Israel. He said, all people, and behold my sorrow. Look at my sorrows. My virgins and my young men are gone into captivity. Is that not sure today? We don't see the virgins and the young men in captivity. They are captivated by flesh. They are captivated by sensual, earthly, natural things. Whereby there is no love for Yahweh at all. He's never on their thoughts. He's not in their minds. He's not in their hearts. They're gone into captivity. Video games, television, football, basketball, folly, frivolity. And it makes no difference. The young girls or the young women are the same as the young men today. They are brought into captivity. Their flesh rules them. It dictates. It commands. It expresses its desire. Has nothing to do with Yahweh. And that's why they are oppressed on Ritalin and Prozac. It is a nation that is consumed with drugs. They've transgressed the law, the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. I call for my lovers, those that say they love me. Those that say that they are my friends. I call for my lovers, and they deceived me. Your lovers are going to deceive you. Your lovers are going to deceive you. He said, I call for my lovers, and yet they deceive me. They pretended that they love me, And yet they did not love me. How do you know that they love you? How do you know that when someone truly loves you? How do you know that you are loved by another brother or sister? Do you know that? Scripture tells us, no greater love than this, that a friend, that he will lay down his life for his brother, his sister, his friend. That's how you know that you're loved. You lay down your life. You're willing to die. You're willing to crucify your flesh. This thing we call love is nothing but based upon your corrupt emotions and feelings. Has nothing to do with the power of the law of Yahweh that governs love. He governs everything. He governs what you love and what you hate. He showed us two twins that were twins yet unborn. One he loved and one he hated. Now the religious world can say that hate doesn't mean hate all they want to. He hated Esau. He hated Esau. Where are your lovers? The things that you love, are they going to save you or give you comfort? Your Leslie Faye dresses and your manicure nails and your pedicures, are they going to give you any comfort at all? Not going to give you anything at all. Not at all. Where are your lovers? Those that say they love you. Those that say they'll stand with you. This wicked world, the ones that you think will stand with you, you're fools. They will not stand for you. Scripture tells us Messiah said brothers are going to betray brothers. Fathers are going to deliver up children. Children are going to hate parents. We don't think we're living in that time. We see it today and you're always allowing this natural manifestation of these things to take place. Children having their parents put in jail for even paddling their backsides. Parents killing their children, their sons and their daughters. We're such an ignorant generation, we don't think that these things truly exist, and they do happen. But they do happen in the natural realm. Why? Because there's a spiritual law that governs that, because Messiah said that these things would be. And what Shaitan always does, he always tries to get an upper hand on what Yahweh says spiritually that would transpire. He began to work in a natural realm that you can see those things manifest. That's what he does. And that's the truth. So they're going to call on their lovers. But their lovers have deceived them. What a profound statement here. My priests or our leaders and my elders died or they gave up the spirit in the city. Why? When they sought their meat to relieve their souls, they died. They died in the cities, for they sought meat to relieve their souls. There's only one meat, and that is the meat of the will of Yahweh. That is the only meat that will satisfy your soul. He said that the leaders, the pastors, and the priests, and the prophets, they all died in the city when they sought meat, when they sought the thing to comfort their soul. Messiah said, I have the meat. It's not the meat of the world. He said, I have meat to eat. And you don't know of this meat. And yet I will open up this meat unto you. And that is to do the will of my Father. And to finish the will of Him that has sent me. That is what gave Him power and strength to go on to the death on Golgotha. That is what gave Him the power. We don't have the will of the Father in our souls. And so when there's a trial and perplexity, we think that our souls are troubled and there is no meat to eat. We don't eat the will of the Father. If I suffer with Him, I know there's a great gain. Did you understand if you suffer with Him, there's a gain? There's a great spiritual gain if you suffer with Him in this life. In this time, a nation that is looking for meat, and a nation that has so much meat that the bodies are out of shape, disformity, because we have meat. We're satisfying our flesh, but we're not satisfying our souls. We are supposed to be a priest, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, that we shall offer up and show the praises of Almighty Yahweh. Yet you eat meat, but your soul is still drunken. Your soul is not satisfied. There's no power of life down in this nation or the people that see they call upon that name. They gave up their spirit in the cities. And that's what the cities are doing. Destroying the souls of men today. They're destroying them. That's why he had to bring them out of Goshen, put them in a place that was wide and broad, that they may be able to hear the voice of the one that delivered them. This is why your distress is. This is why you're not content. I don't care what one does to you. You have the Spirit of Yahweh in you. You can walk by His laws. The reason you can't obey the law is because you don't have His Spirit. Now this is what Scripture says. It is either that all Scripture is given by the inspiration, or no Scripture is given. It is either that the old is given as well as the new by His inspiration, or you throw it all out to the trash bucket. You throw it all out. And all Scripture is given for inspiration. And these things have happened for an example or ensample for your soul. For the safekeeping and the watching of your soul. He says, behold, verse 20. Behold, O Yahweh, for I am in distress. I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. I'm so tormented within me. I don't know what to do. I'm troubled so. My mind cannot articulate. It cannot even rationalize. That's what torment does. That's what it does. That is why they tormented Messiah. His only hope was that he had to finish the will of the Father. Why do you think that they, even in Guantanamo Bay, those that they have as prisoners of war, it is not the beating that they put on them, but it's the torment in the inward parts, the psychology that they use on their minds to warp them, that they think that they're literally going crazy, that their minds are taken from them. Their minds have no ability to actually differentiate between that which is reality and that which is surreal. Has no ability to do that. And he said, my mind is tormented and my bowels within me. I don't even know which way to turn. And this is a nation that doesn't know which way to turn. This is a people that say they are the servants of Yahweh. They don't know what way to turn. They turn to flesh. They will turn to lies and gossiping and sinful things instead of turning to their knees. Instead of turning to prayer. Instead of turning to offering of sacrifices and offerings acceptable unto Him. They turn to lies and sin. Why? Because the heart is wicked and deceitful. Their own lover has deceived them. They love their hearts and their wicked ways in their hearts manifest in them. And their own hearts have deceived them. He said, my heart is turned within me. Your heart turn within you. Why? For I have grievously rebelled. And that is the springboard of this tremendous torment and this grievous calamity, because you have rebelled. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of Yahweh. I rejected you. You can't reject His word. He called you and elected you. And you say, you're not going to govern me. You say to Him, go to hell. You're not going to govern me. He called you, elected you, chosen you. David could not touch Saul, for he was a chosen and elect vessel of Yahweh. He couldn't kill him. He couldn't destroy him. He had to take his hands off him. Although he was right there to take the sword and put it to him, he could do it. For even he was the elect of Yahweh. For this purpose, I've elected Pharaoh. Oh, the election worked both ways. He said, for this purpose, I've raised up Pharaoh. I've elected that Pharaoh here to get glory and honor upon my name. And he's going to bring glory upon my name. Oh, his election worked both ways. He elected Esau. And he elected Jacob. Yaakov. He elected Cain and he elected Abel. And Cain slew Abel. And you always put a mark on Cain that nobody, him, he was still his elect. And he stood it forth and said, don't nobody touch him. He's still mine. And I'm going to work this thing in him, even unto death and destruction. We have not given him proper time. You sure don't love him. I'm here to tell all of you, whether you reject me or not, ain't no pure love in your heart for him. For if it was, if you love me, he says, listen, keep my commandments. Do what I tell you. Do it. But it seemed grievous because you rebel. You're rebellious. Your wives in your homes, you make it hard because you rebel. Your husband, you make it rough because you rebel against what you always says ought to be there. And so there is torment there. Can't talk. Can't look at each other. No kosher conversation. Because you rebel against his truth. I have enough of his spirit to tell you the truth. Whether you love me, that's not even a problem of concern with me. It doesn't bother me. I don't lose any sleep. Nah. If you love him, you would do what he says. And you would obey him. He said, for I have grievous rebel. He said, abroad the sword breathe, kills. At home there is as death. They have heard that I groan or I sigh. He said, there is none to comfort me. You tell me someone's going to comfort you in a righteous sighing? Who's comforting Yahweh? Nobody. Nobody cares about him today. The one that they call God, they don't care about. The one that they call Lord, they don't. They read this thing they call the Bible. I call it scripture. And yet they don't believe what's in there. They don't. They disobey it blatantly without even conscience of rebuke or judgment. And that's the truth. The nation is that way. The world is that way. And the one that calls themselves his children, they're worse than even the world. The children of this generation is wiser than you ones that think you're wise. And yet they seduce you. And they draw you from even the commonwealth of Israel. They draw you from the Father's law. That you obey their laws. You walk in their laws. And you're governed by their spirit. And not by the spirit of Yahweh. I will let no man do that to me, Father. I'm not the wisest man. But he is wise. And his law that is in me is wise too. So I let that law rule. And govern my feelings. My emotions. My mindset, I'll let that law govern. And when that law governs, then it produces a life. He is life. It produces him and his visage. And that is what it ought to produce. A city lit, set upon a high place. That's the way it should be. And no other way like that. He says in verse 22. He said, let all their wickedness come before thee. And do unto them as thou hast done unto me. For what? For all my transgressions. For my groaning and my sighing are many, and my heart is faint. It has no power, no strength. Or no ability at all. My heart is faint. Why? Because of the transgressions. When a man rejects the laws of Yahweh, he transgresses. When you disobey him, you transgress. When you walk in your own way, you transgress the Father. There's a way that seemeth right unto man. And I tell you, all my ways seem right. But when I govern them against the law, or when I allow the law of Yahweh to judge them, my ways are so wrong. They stink. They're putrefied. They're evil ways. defile ways. My ways are evil. Your ways are very wicked and evil. You do things that you always say don't do. What a conscience. I don't want that, Father. That's why we need to keep our minds on Him. That's why you need to constantly pray. You don't pray, you're lazy. You're shiftless and you're sorry. When it comes to those things, you're not going in. I'm telling you. You're not going in. One of the most profound things for Messiah to get to that place whereby he could die. He had to get on his face before the Father. And he prayed as though great drops of blood perspired from him. We have not even touched the threshold. We despise prayer, and this is a nation that despises praying. There's no commitment to praying. None whatsoever. And yet those that do their yogis, or the yogis who they get in the yoga movement, they do it faithfully every day. Yet you find the Muslims 3 times a day. They will bow unto Allah Akbar. God is great. And yet you call yourself saints. Your belly is your God. And it rules you. Yet there is no even bending of your knees. And yet they even get prostrate before their God. And we're such a lazy, trifling people. No love for Him. You don't have time for that. But you have time to gossip, to lie, to run your mouth. You're going to hell. Something is wrong with your soul. That's the truth. That is the truth. No time for Him. You're distressed. Your lovers are going to forsake you. You're going to look for comfort from them. They're not going to be anywhere to comfort you. Your nostrums and your belts and your fears, they're not going to comfort you. Not one bit at all. Why? Because your heart is given to transgression. You defy the laws of Yahweh and say, it's not appropriate for me to walk that way. Every word, Yahweh is pure. Therefore, His servants, only the servants of Yahweh, they're the only ones that love it. Only they. Which chosen and elect are you today? As you sit here. Which election do you have? That's why you need to make your calling and your election. You are. And then you do the work of an evangelist. That your words, everything you see, say be about Him. That's how you make your calling and your election. If you're a son of Esau, then your calling, your election, it will be made known because your conversation is about sensual, natural gossiping, wicked things. If you do the work of an evangelist, make your calling and your election sure. You better make it sure. Woe unto you if you don't make it sure. So this great calamity is taking place because you have transgressed. That is the strength of it. You have transgressed the law of Yahweh. You will not adhere to His commandments. And you say, I will not do what you say, Almighty Yahweh. You must understand that this lamentation of Jeremiah, so because a house had rejected the laws of Yahweh, and they had their own form of worship, they went under every bay tree, after every strange god and every strange spirit, yet they did not bow down before Almighty Yahweh. Show love for Him. And that's the way it is today. Look at your belly and your neighbor's belly. Your neighbor like one thing, you like something else. Under every strange tree you go after. I like chocolate ice cream, I want strawberry. I want chocolate cake. I want apple pie. And that's the way it is. Makes no difference whether you can curse the truth or not, but it is. Has nothing to do with you. It has to do with Him. Makes no difference if it cut you down to your soul until death reigns supreme and victoriously. And there may be some life
that come forth out of you. It makes no difference at all. For he is going to fulfill his word. And that is the truth. And no man, no person is going to change that at all. Scripture says in Zephaniah chapter 1. And here we see the figurative coming of the judgment of Yehudah for their sins and their transgression. Do you not understand that Israel today, there is a judgment, and the Old Testament or the Old Covenant is a pattern of what things will transpire in this hour and the judgment of those things that have already been judged. And so we were wise servants. We will go back to Scripture and see the heart of Yahweh so we'll know how to carry ourselves, how to respond and how to act. We don't do that. We constantly converse with flesh, with our corrupt minds. We need a new mind. And that's the mind of his son. You don't need the mind of your daddy, your mother. You need his mind. Your mind is worthless. You need his mind. Scripture says in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. It says that the great day of Yahweh is near. He spoke this in that prophecy of Zephaniah. He said that the day or the great day is near, and that was the judgment of Yehudah and Israel. He's going to judge this nation. We that are the called and elect of Yahweh, he's going to judge us. He said, it is near and hasten greatly. It is at such torrid pace. That's why it seems as though that the days are so shortened today. Seems as though time moves so rapidly today. He said that time hastily, greatly. Greatly. Even the voice of the day of Yahweh, he said the mighty men shall cry there bitterly. That's why you can't even stand for him to speak to you. So he uses an intermediary, men that the Spirit will speak to, through. He said that day the mighty men, how many are mighty today? But Yahweh speaks to you, your voice, or you ought to cry bitterly. There ought to be a cry in our souls. You don't have no mighty man today. They're seductive under their own fleshly ways. No mighty man. Solomon said, I looked for one amongst a thousand and didn't find but one. And he said, for the pure, virtuous character of a woman didn't find one. And yet he gives us, as Lemuel, as his mother says, this is the character of what Yahweh is coming for. Virtuous, pure, clean, sanctified, righteous. Most of this world will love to have someone to give them rosy things. I preach truth. I see what Scripture says. He says a day, and he calls it a great day. When he always speaks to a man, it's a great day. When he brings judgment upon a man, it's a great day. And a mighty man will cry bitterly. He will cry out unto the Father. That's why most of you men here can't even cry. That's why most of you daughters can't open your mouths to the Father. Because he doesn't speak to your heart. Yahweh began to speak to a man's heart. He began to travail and cry. He understands the profound thing that is done. And he opens his mouth unto the Father with a roar as a mighty lion. The Spirit, the Scripture says, Messiah, he cried out unto the Father. Eli! Eli, Sabbathni, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He was a mighty man, and he gave up the ghost. He gave up his spirit.
Mighty man will cry out unto the Father. He will speak. That's why there are not many mighty men today. Men want to be mighty, but they're not mighty. Such a weak, imbecile of men. No mighty cried out unto him. He said, the mighty men will cry bitterly. Why? Because they understand the judgment of Yahweh. They understand the terror of that day. That's why they cry bitterly. They lament, they cry bitterly, they understand this mighty great day of judgment. He always speaks to a man. In his daily life, he knows that that's a visitation from the Father. He will cry, help me, Father. Save my soul. Deliver me. And the tears will begin to flow. Because he understands that there is one that is mightier than him. He is the Father. Oh, I want to see him.